CLTV News with Rigobert Maniga. In the headlines, some members of the National Commission on the Promotion of Bilingualism and Multiculturalism will tomorrow begin evaluating the effective use of English and French in ports across Cameroon. Experts say Russia has effectively dismantled the Wagner Group in a year since the mercenaries shocked the world by launching a mutiny against President Vladimir Putin. Clovis Kamzong Abosolo has won the 2024 National Cycling Championship, covering a distance of 158 kilometers in 3 hours, 42 minutes, 52 seconds. Members of the National Commission for the Promotion of Bilingualism and Multiculturalism will begin a field mission tomorrow to monitor and evaluate the effective practice of bilingualism in interactions at international airports and seaports in Cameroon. According to a press release signed by the president of the commission, Peter Mafane Musonge, the one-week mission will take the members to the Yaoundé Simalén International Airport, Douala and Garoua International Airports, as well as Douala Kribi and Limbé Autonomous Ports. Albert Njembonde examines the essence of the field trip within the context of the promotion of Cameroon's official languages.
Like in all countries across the world, Cameroon's air and sea ports are windows through the nation, places by excellence where first impressions are made, which enjoy high affluence and interaction. The effective use of English and French is thus important for Cameroon, a country that is reputed as bilingual, but whose citizens do not always master nor use the two official languages. The members of the National Commission for the Promotion of Bilingualism and Multiculturalism go to Cameroon's international airports of Douala, Garoua and Yaoundé Simalén and the autonomous ports of Douala, Kribi and Limbé to check and evaluate the effective use of Cameroon's two official languages in line with the decree of December 24, 2019, enacting the law on the promotion of Cameroon's two official languages, a policy option of the state at the impulse of President Paul Biya, which must be respected to keep the identity of the nation and encourage the spirit of living together. The airport and seaport officials will also be reminded on the use of both languages in same measure. This is the latest of similar field trips which have taken the members of the Musonge Commission to military training schools and centers, hospitals, diplomatic missions abroad, ministries, as well as public and private business entities to gather their views on how best the culture of bilingualism could be enhanced and remind them that the use of the two official languages in Cameroon is not an option, but rather an obligation and in the best interest of all.
Albert Njembonde. Commercial motorbike riders in Bamenda have pleaded with the senior divisional officer for Mezam to reverse the recent decision the administrator took suspending the movement of bikes at later hours. The move was taken following rising acts of insecurity in the town, but riders are lamenting that the action has limited their income levels and their ability to sustain a decent livelihood. Meanwhile, mental health experts in the Northwest region have expressed deep concerns that the rising insecurity in the region is generating more cases of trauma and depression. The problem is very preoccupying, such that many non-governmental organizations in the area have set up programs to offer psychosocial support to victims to help them to overcome the challenge. Kalot Valerie Sala has the report from CRTV Northwest in Bamenda.
In recent weeks, Bamenda has been gripped by rising insecurity. Taxis and, in rare cases, commercial motorbikes have been reportedly burnt. There have been sporadic gunshots, and the threat of kidnappings remain real. People in the Northwest who have been caught in violent confrontations are often traumatized.
I am Faimanke Felicitas Shambo, a clinical counseling psychologist by profession. I will just take an example of a case that sustained like 8 gunshot wounds. She was in coma for about 2 months. We discovered that this survivor could not actually relate with her immediate environment like before. Every sound keeps her jerky.
Many non-governmental organizations in the region like Grace Vision, whose founder is Janet Sisige, address both causes and immediate consequences of conflict-driven mental problems.
The stress of maybe unemployment crisis compounding it, not money and everything. You see the young person pulls a gun and threatens people just to frighten people and get money from them. So that's the challenge that the young person in this community is facing.
Many in the region who've suffered from the negative impact of the conflict continue to express the need for urgent peaceful moves to end a more than 7-year crisis. Kilo Valerie Salau, CR TV News, Bamenda.
The plight of widows and the need for the powers that be as well as society to safeguard and advocate the rights has been discussed in Yaoundé as Cameroon joined the globe to observe the International Widows Day. Speaking to reporters, some of the widows who managed to overcome the many challenges of widowhood say women must stand up for themselves in a fast-evolving world and change the narrative. Kelly Eben dives into the daily challenges of widowhood and how some of them have been coping. Here is her report.
When he died, I was 2 weeks pregnant. I lost the baby due to pressure, and the family was not a kind one at that.
When I got married, my husband refused I should work. When he was alive, he was providing everything.
The transition was not that easy.
Losing a partner is just the beginning of a long battle for basic rights and dignity. Most widows are oftentimes stigmatized and left at the mercy of discriminatory practices which are derogatory to their well-being.
So after the cops removal, we went to the village. They forced me to wear either black or white. But then it's not normal because we were not married for even up to a year. So it was kind of traumatizing for me. They asked me to sit in the same room with the cops. But then with my religion, I couldn't accept those kind of stuff.
While some are left to grapple with the hurdles of widowhood, others, like Rose Mufo, a practicing nurse, chose to conquer and change the narrative the status of widowhood tends to impose on women.
I became a widow at the age of 33. I opened a small cosmetic shop. Afterwards, the shop died down with my brothers and sisters-in-laws. They were helping in one way or the other. But I didn't actually see myself like completed because I thought I was lacking something. I decided to go back to school at the age of 49. And so many people saw it as if it was late for me. I had my O level, the advanced level, and what next? I went to nursing school. That is how I found myself in school for 3 good years. When I got out of the school, I decided to go work somewhere as voluntary worker. That's how God sent an angel. The person asked me, "Madam, you come and sit here and you're working for nothing." I said, "I don't know the next thing to do." He said, "Okay, don't you know our office? Look for it and give your application there." I didn't come here to take applications. God being always at the forefront. Same day I took my application to that place, I was employed.
These widows of all ages are clamoring and dreaming that their voices be heard so that none of them should lose their status, property, livelihood due to the death of their husbands. Imagine what 1 million widows could accomplish if they felt loved and valued. Imagine.
We can still fight for ourselves if the government can do something to help some of the women, even those that have some talents. Every woman will be able to stand up and to support the family that they are moving with.
Gary Eben reporting. And the daily lives of widows are very challenging, especially as they are forced to play the role of a father, breadwinner, and a mother to their children. Cynthia Atim spoke with some widows in Douala and put together this report.
When the plan to spend a whole lifetime with a partner is cut short by death, a feeling of shock, disbelief, and disconnection sets in. Be it for Odette Nimbungwe, Helen Kerr, or Eleke Ekume, their experiences as widows are alike.
My husband died in 2019. coping with life is not easy. He was the one doing everything to me and the children.
I've been a widow for 2 years now. It has not been easy at all. You know, when you the two of you are together, doing things together, then when one person is not there, like is not there, never to come back again, you find yourself alone, doing things alone.
It hasn't been easy on my path since the death of my husband in January 2020.
A lifetime grief, as the absence of their spouses is greatly felt. But then the women must stand the gap.
To survive, I'm in business. No particular business. If it means today it's what I have to sell, that will make me to raise money for my kids, so that my kids not stay with hunger, I'll do it.
Some even feel neglected by family and society.
When you are your husband, you have many friends. When your husband is no more, you are neglected. You are alone with your children. There are miserable widows where I'm living.
Like the family members, when he died, they promised they were going to take care of the children. But since he died, even a pencil, they have never bought.
The day they give, good and fine. The day they don't give, I am not angry.
Opinions hold that this category of persons be shown more love and consideration. Cynthia Etim, CRTV News, Douala.
And in the report that follows, Silas Quine tells the story of Kinsa Quinta, a young widow who lost her husband few months ago.
The emotional and physical strain Kinsa Quinta has endured over the last 6 months lingers in her disconsolate tone as she narrates her ordeal.
My husband passed away on the 6th of December 2023.
Since then, her life and that of her 6 children, now orphans, have not been the same.
He has been a patient, but before he died, he was not more sick. He came to assist me at the shop at night. I left him there, came back to the house. He stayed there with one of our sons. Late at night, by 3 a.m., told the child he was not feeling fine. He wanted to go back home. We had 6 children plus an orphan, 7. The son to the late brother.
With the loss of the breadwinner of the family, Quinta now essentially relies on herself and the assistance of her extended family, friends, and church community.
After his death, I thought it would be a great challenge for me, but when he came to me a dream and told me to wipe my tears and take care of the children, I took my bold mind and asked for God. I've surrendered all, and God is doing it for me. The children have also been by my side to tell me, Mama, pray yourself so that you can take care of us.
Her only consolation is that her children are all God-fearing, and there is hope for them. Silas Nkwine, CRTV News, Ebolova.
Inhabitants of Mabanda community in Kumba, Meme Division of the Southwest Region, now have portable water after a water project donated by a community developer and son of the community, Reverend Dr. John Gore, went into use over the weekend. The project was commissioned by the mayor of Kumba. 3. Nguba Isaac. Details with Kange Leon Cesar.
The project, which cost about 12 million CFA francs, has brought relief to inhabitants of the Mabanda community in Kumba, who have been longing to have portable water in their neighborhood.
Dr. Ngo, Minister of the Gospel, and we're also involved with medical missions, so we establish an NGO. So we bring medicine, bring tangible stuff to help them in the areas of their need, especially in healthcare.
According to the benefactor, the Reverend Dr. John Ngo, it is the only way himself, his family, and his missionaries dubbed Mission for Christ International can give back to the community.
They were saying they need another water source borehole in this same village. The other villages don't have. The Kiliwindi doesn't have. So why not share the blessing? So why not go there next and then Kurume and the rest? So we're just sharing the blessing as God provides it.
Inaugurating the project, the mayor of Kumba 3, Nguba Isaac, expressed gratitude to Reverend Dr. John Ngo, urging others to copy his example before calling on the population to manage the water scheme judiciously. Kange, Leon Cesar, CRTV, Buya.
The former students of the Faculty of Law and Political Sciences of the University of Yaoundé 2 Soa, under the canopy of Association Soa Demu, FSJP, have assessed the projects realized in their first 3 years of existence and mapped out new strategies that will enable them to achieve their objectives. This was during their 7th General Assembly that brought together members in and out of Cameroon in Kribi. Polycap Atia completes a story from CLTV South in Kribi.
The 2000 batch of the Faculty of Law and Political Sciences of the University of Yaoundé 2, dubbed Swademi FSJP, during their 7th General Assembly held in Kribi, exchanged on different strategies that will be implemented to realize their objectives. Hilary Ndunga is a member.
The main objective was to put all the students together because the number was very few, and now you have more than 100 members, and this number can help us to come out with a serious project.
Fraternity, conviviality, and solidarity being their watchwords, SWA DEMI FSJP aspires to execute projects that will not only be beneficial to members but helpful to their juniors. Hilary Ndunga added.
We have a social aspect to put in place and to introduce in our statute a part that will help group of study to help our young brothers who are now at the university to prepare them for some professional milieu.
Convinced with the balance sheet of the projects realized in the first 6 months of the year 2024, the members of SWA DEMI FSJP are determined to extend their tentacles in and out of Cameroon in order to reinforce their network. Polycap Atier, reporting for CRTV News, Kribi.
The head of the CPDM Permanent Delegation for the Nyong and Kele, Pauline Rengene, says a peaceful climate and cohesion can enable the party to attain the objectives. She was speaking during an assessment tour in Matom and Ezeka, while also commending them for the efforts vested in galvanizing party supporters and sympathizers to enroll themselves on the electoral registers to ensure the party secures its victory in next year's election. Minister Pauline Rengene, behind closed doors, held talks with party officials to take stock of the state of affairs within the basic structures of the CPDM. Let's hear here in this excerpt selected for us by Kelly Eben.
We continue our work in the sections for the next elections coming in 2025. We want to mobilize, we want to sensitize the CPDM militant so that they will know what the government is doing for them, to convince them to vote for our party. We may have problems, but sometimes those problems are among us. So we have to go and find out what are the problems and what do we do to solve this problem. So these are not the meetings how we usually organize. So we're coming here for work, to talk and listen and see what we can do so that we will feel good next year in the elections coming.
Cameroonian pilgrims in Saudi Arabia have expressed their profound gratitude to President Paul Biya for his financial and material assistance, which they say has greatly contributed to the success of their pilgrimage. They sounded the note of gratitude during the visit of Cameroon official Hajj delegation to their hotels, led by the country's ambassador to Saudi Arabia, Iya Tijani. Ngoninge Swaibonshari has the details.
The visit comes at a time when the Cameroonian pilgrims have come to the end of their Hajj and are now poised to return to their country. Ambassador Iya Tijani is the head of the Cameroon official Hajj delegation to Saudi Arabia.
Our objective is to know how well pilgrim has made the Hajj between Mina, Arafat, Mustalifa, Mina, and Mecca.
It was also an opportunity to inquire about the difficulties encountered so as to better plan for the future. The few challenges notwithstanding, this year's Hajj is said to be one of the most successful, thanks largely to what the ambassador has described as the high sense of discipline of the pilgrims and their guides. The pilgrims, for their part, have attributed the success story to the magnanimity of President Paul Biya towards them. Saidu Musa, who is the SDO of Boyo, and Suila Aruna, explain.
Nobody has any major challenge. Following the gift of His Excellency President Paul Biya, the subvention, ambulance.
The president has really facilitated our Hajj because he supported us with food money. We were able to eat well in the Holy Land.
The SDO has not also forgotten where he is coming from.
We took the opportunity, we working from the northwest and southeast, to pray Allah so that we get long-lasting solution to our crisis.
The pilgrims have also thanked the head of the National Hajj Commission, Minister Paul Atanganji, for his untiring commitment to respond to their needs and preoccupations. Osmaila Tuku, Ngoninge Swaibunshare, CRTV News, Maker.
20 minutes gone after 7 p.m., this is CRTV News. Reports say Russia has effectively dismantled and replaced the Wagner Group in the years since the mercenaries shocked the world by launching a mutiny against President Vladimir Putin. Yevgeny Prigozhin, the latest leader of the paramilitary force, crossed from Ukraine and on the 22nd of June 2023 and seized the southern city of Rostov after months of increasing tensions with military leaders in Moscow. His forces then began a brief charge towards the capital, meeting initially no resistance. The March for Justice, as Prigozhin called it, came to an abrupt end the following day after he called off the advance. Just 2 months later, Prigozhin's plane crashed and he was killed alongside several other senior Wagner members, throwing the group's future into confusion. In sports, Clovis Kamzangabosolo is the winner of the 2024 National Cycling Championship. He covered the 158 kilometers distance from Nomayos Ngomedzap Nomayos in 3 hours, 42 minutes, and 52 seconds. In the female category, Mariole Kane from the Renaissance Cycling Club in Bafoussam won the competition for the fourth time. She covered a distance of 82 kilometers in 2 hours, 40 minutes. Meanwhile, Didier Mwafu, also from the Renaissance Cycling Club, won the junior category. And still in sports, Lucien Wangba from Team Cameroon will in under an hour compete in the men's discus final at the African Senior Athletics Championship in Douala. He aims to add to Emmanuel SMS silver medal in the men's 100-meter final, which is currently Cameroon's only medal in the championships. The energetic sprinter finished second behind Liberia's Joseph Fanbule in highly contested race. Details with CRTV's special envoy to the championships, Marcel Nfoche.
In a thrilling race that came down to the wire, Emmanuel SMA was narrowly urged out by Liberia's Joseph Fanbule in the men's 100-meter final. The Cameroonian sprinter initially believed he had clinched victory, only to find out after a close check that Fanbule had crossed the line first. The Liberian, who secured first place by a mere 2 milliseconds, finished the race in 10.13 seconds and was pleased with his achievement.
I feel good with the setbacks and the timing today and the rain. You just have to make what God has given you. You know, so with that being said, I came out here and I ran my own race. It is my first win. I'm going to go run the 200 here, and then after that, go train back in Florida. Happy man, sure, but I also have deep respect for him. This is his home, right? So with that being said, there's no malice. I'm happy that he got second. He ran a very good race.
SMS silver medal win is a welcome relief for host Cameroon, which since the start of the competition has seen its athletes backfire in their different disciplines. Apollinaire Yinra and Raymond Kwemi ranked 7th and 8th in the men's long jump final, and the host finished 7th in the 4x400 mixed relay final won by South Africa. Choga Pierre and Jody Leka didn't fare any better in the men's 10,000 meters final, finishing the race 3 lapses after Ethiopian athlete Nibrat Melak had won the race. With the competition getting tougher as it advances, it will take something truly special for Team Cameroon to improve on their 14th place finish during the previous championships in Mauritius. Brayson, Richard Bebe, and Marcel Fauchier at the 23rd Athletics Championships in Douala.
And despite finishing second in the men's 100-meter final, Emmanuel Eseme Alobwede remains optimistic and focused on the future. He spoke to our reporter Marcel Fauchier.
It's not the position I would have wanted, but then I'm thankful to God that I was able to finish the race. Second position is still good, make my public very happy. If you watch the race really keenly, you see I had stumbled at 2 positions because the first lane has some few slopes which weren't really helpful to me during my race, so I stumbled a little bit and that disturbed my race. This is one race, there are a lot of races ahead, so it's one race at a time, we stay focused and we keep doing the job.
Emmanuel SMA Alobede speaking there. To end the news, a reminder of our major stories. Some members of the National Commission on the Promotion of Bilingualism and Multiculturalism will tomorrow begin evaluating the effective use of English and French in ports across Cameroon. Experts say Russia has effectively dismantled the Wagner Group in a year since the mercenaries shocked the world by launching a mutiny against President Vladimir Putin. Clovis Kamzong Abosolo has won the 2024 Nationals Cycling Championship, covering a distance of 158 kilometers in 3 hours, 42 minutes, 52 seconds. CLTV News.